is also known as Passion Sunday because we read from the Passion. And the Passion, of course, is the center of the Gospels. The Gospels have been described as passion narratives with a long introduction, but it's really about the Passion. This is the heart of the message. And Holy Week and the Triduum toward the end of this week are the heart of the liturgical year. The Passion of Christ, of course, is central to our understanding of what he has done for us and our participation in that. We call that the Paschal Mystery, the dying and rising of Christ and our participation in it. And we celebrate that every Sunday, but this week, more intently, more reflectively, more passionately, we reflect on that mystery and how that has to do with us. And Passion Sunday, Palm Sunday, is the entrance into this week. And you see we have a doorway here. And doors are so symbolic in the Catholic Church. They're symbolic of baptism, entrance into the family of God, entrance into the kingdom, entrance into the church. And what is that entrance? It's baptism. And in baptism, we die with Christ so that we may also rise with Christ. It's the entrance into the Paschal Mystery. We are always, in this side of the kingdom, we're always entering into the Paschal Mystery. We are reflecting more and more deeply as life goes on about what it means to be involved in Christ, to be members of his body, sharing his death and sharing his resurrection. And so this is our doorway. This is the entrance into this holiest of all the weeks of the year. You may have noticed that there are two mentions of crowd in these two Gospels. They're both from Mark. The one we read in the parish hall mentions the crowd that is jubilantly welcoming Jesus into the city of Jerusalem, and they're waving palm branches. And there's a great sense of irony here the way the Gospel of Mark sets it up. When Roman generals would conquer a new tribe or a new nation, they would come back for a victorious procession into the city of Rome, and they would go right down into the forum, the center of the city, and they would be seated on a white horse, and the crowds would be cheering and singing to them, and there were bands, and you know, it was all a staged kind of event that would remind the people of Rome what a great man this was and what a great victory he won over the enemy tribes. Here, Jesus is entering not into Rome, but into Jerusalem, the capital city of an outpost of an insignificant tribe of people, the Jews, that the Romans had conquered 30 years before, and they were a subjugated people. They were nobody, and Jesus is the king of the nobodies. And so this crowd of poor people welcomes him not on a white horse, but on the colt of a donkey, a beast of burden. So the irony is great here. Who is that crowd? It's the poor. They're on the outside, the outskirts of the city. They're on the fringes of society. These are the people who recognize Jesus as their Savior because he has healed their illnesses. He has cast out their demons. He has declared a year of favor from the Lord. He has announced to them freedom, liberation from their sin and from their death. They recognize Jesus as the Son of God, and so they are jubilant in their welcoming him into the city. But then in the gospel we just proclaimed here in the church, same gospel, but it's a different crowd. This is the inner circle. This is downtown. This is the chiefs, the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the leaders, the wealthy, the influential, the in crowd, the people who have influence. And they're not so nice to Jesus because they're threatened by him. He undermines the system that has worked well for them. and he breaks their rules. He heals on the Sabbath. He hangs out with all those people out there on the fringe. He hangs out with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes. He even eats with them. They are threatened by Jesus. And so they bring him to trial, and the chief priest questions him. And when Jesus answers affirmatively to the question, "Are you the Son of God?" he rends his garments. He's horrified to hear that. It undermines everything he believes and everything he stands for. So as we enter into this Holy Week, one of the things that maybe we need to reflect on is, which crowd do we identify with? The fringe people, the poor, the outsiders, the outcast, or the ones close in with authority and power and education and class? Do we have the humility to turn our will over to the will of the Father just like Jesus did? Do we have the courage to enter into death so that we might also enter into resurrection? Do we have the humility to recognize our own poverty? Because ultimately, this is not about whether we have money or not, or whether we have influence or not. Everybody is poor before God. But not everybody has the humility to recognize that, to own that. Because the only way we are going to be able to welcome Jesus into our hearts is if we can recognize how much we need him. If we're too smug, if things are going too well for us and we don't really deep down feel like we need Jesus, then he can't enter into our hearts. That's what the gospel means by a spirit of poverty. The humility to know our need, our desperate need for salvation, our need for Christ to come into us and dwell there, and our need to go into God, to recognize that without the kingdom of God, we are the poorest of the poor. We are lost.